The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
All right, Craig, thank you. You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. It's Tuesday, March 26, 2024. Everyone just calm down. Calm the blank down, all right? We just had a discussion about Gaza with someone who supports Palestine. A lot of Americans do. Chris Aaron, who you heard, I think he was the second caller, will be here tomorrow, and he'll have a chance to give the other side. I've been with you for 32 years, and I try to provide multiple points of view. So, yes, we heard one side today. We'll hear another side tomorrow, and then guess what? You get to decide. Dr. James Papp is with us in about an hour. Also tomorrow, the police chief of San Luis Obispo, Rick Scott, is going to be with us. You know what we're going to be talking about. So I hope you will tune in and help me spread the word. This hour, one of our favorite guests is about to join us. Jeff Bliss is back with us. And by the way, I'm on vacation starting a week from tomorrow. And Jeff is going to come up and guest host those first 2 days with Craig. The internal furor over NBC News' decision to hire former Republican National Committee head Rona McDaniel as a paid contributor spread Monday with MSNBC personalities Rachel Maddow, Jen Psaki, Nicole Wallace, Joy Reid, Lawrence O'Donnell, and Joe Scarborough all using their shows to publicly object. Maddow, MSNBC's most popular personality, compared it to putting a mobster to work in a district attorney's office. She said on her show last night, "I find the decision to put her on the payroll inexplicable, and I hope they will consider that decision." Well, apparently they have, as we bring Jeff into the conversation. Much to unpack here. Jeff, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dave. Great to be with you and the listeners.
I appreciate your time and support of this broadcast, sir. Before we give the update, let's start with the original story. Who is Rona McDaniel?
Rona McDaniel is the former head of the RNC, the Republican National Committee. And she was ousted along the way, certainly by the Trump forces. But she has been part of the whole, you know, Republican inner circle for a number of years. And you don't get to be the head of the party that way without having, you know, been beholden to people along the way, whether at one time was Mitch Daniels or Trump or any other host of people. You know, that's the way these things work. But she was definitely part of the Republican machine for quite a while.
And wasn't or isn't she related to Mitt Romney somehow?
I've heard that. I don't actually know if she is, beyond the fact that they were, you know, simpatico at one point. But it wouldn't shock me. I think I've heard that as well.
Well, the story is,
honestly, I've been looking at more of her politics than her bloodline. Yeah.
Well, her bloodline is she is Mitt Romney's daughter-in-law, and when she first came on my radar was that forever she ID'd herself as Rona Romney McDaniel, and Trump made her drop the Romney from her middle name, and then she became Rona McDaniel. That's my understanding.
It is interesting how many people he's gotten to, you know, do his bidding, whether it was something as silly as that, or, you know, seems kind of his typical vain stuff, or just taking other, you know, other tacks in terms of their politics. to satisfy him. So that doesn't surprise me. I'm sorry I wasn't up to the fact that she was a Romney-related person, but I knew about her connections politically.
All right, fair enough. So anyway, here she is, and Trump kind of forced her out as head of the Republican National Committee, and NBC News actually was the one, came along and offered her a paid contributor. How do we get this gig, Jeff? $300,000 a year to come on TV and spout off.
Well, sometimes it either seems like you have to take a real extreme, a real extreme point with either, people at Fox or MSNBC or what have you, or you have to have failed. And there's so many people that are political consultants on all of these cable network channels that just seem like they fail up into these fabulous salaries. And beyond that, they get speaking gigs out of it, and, sometimes professorships or guest lecture things. So it's not a bad gig to have. There's a reason there aren't a lot of poor people in D.C. politics.
All right. Well, and we'll get into the uproar, but when this was announced, there's this huge uproar that I referenced here on Meet the Press. They had a come-to-Jesus meeting about it. Rachel Maddow had a nearly 30-minute opening monologue about it. Joe Scarborough waged in. Why are they so angry that this woman is going to be a paid contributor?
Well, they're going to say that they're angry because they thought she was an election denier, or she was an election denier. They're going to be angry because she was pro-Trump. But, she's never atoned for her sins with them. There are a number of Republicans over the years who have come on bended knees, say, "Oh, I was wrong about this or that," and they get accepted in the fold as long as they keep criticizing the Republican Party. But here's the thing. Here are these people: Rachel Maddow, Chris Hayes, Joy Reid. All have been election deniers in their time. Chuck Todd was a campaign aide to Democratic Senator Tom Harkin. Nicole Wallace, one of these people, had bent the knee. Jake Tapper, a former campaign press secretary for congressional candidate. And George Stephanopoulos, and then Jen Psaki. It goes on and on. All these people have done things along the way that definitely pushed up against the ethical barriers, or like with Jen Psaki, she was actually the press secretary, and taking questions from future colleagues while she's negotiating a deal with NBC. So, the whole thing about ethics and, bringing a gangster into the DA's office, what a bunch of hokum and hypocrisy. I mean, these people really have stretched, and the crying and the moaning and wailing. But, they got their wishes, because today, Cesar Conde, who is the head of news over there at NBC, said, "Look, I'm sorry we did this. Rona's not going to be joining us. I really should have thought about what it's going to mean to the team. And, we need to have diverse viewpoints on our programs, and we'll work on our efforts to get the voices to represent different parts of the political spectrum." Well, yeah, he'll say he's going to do that, but it's not going to be anybody that these people don't approve of.
Do you think he's going to have a job much longer?
That's a good question. I think we've seen in other instances in the media where there's been uprising in the newsrooms because people didn't fit with the orthodoxy there. So editors have been tossed out. That's not something that's going to be that would be new. So I think that's a very good chance that could happen to Caesar.
Yeah, I think so too. Jeff Bliss is on this broadcast. Quick break, and we'll come back and chat some more. I'm sorry that break was so long. I was busy filling out my application to MSNBC so I could be a $300,000 a year contributor. I can give opinions. Jeff Bliss is with us. I mean, I knew they got paid, but that's the starting salary is $300,000?
Well, they negotiate good deals, that's for sure. All these people have their agents out there, and they know they'll bring people in. Part of the thing is I do believe they wanted to have her be there to create some tension, but I don't think they really realize what it would develop into. But
oh, they got the tension. Yeah, they got the tension part, not necessarily the part they wanted. So we have Rona McDaniel, who was the head of the Republican National Committee, and Donald Trump figured it was time for her to go, so she was unemployed. The suits at MSNBC and NBC News reached out and said, "We'd like you to become a paid contributor." Well, All the other people already at MSNBC have gone nuts the last 48 hours, and then today it was announced that they're withdrawing, although I read somewhere that she's going to sue. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that in several places. That as soon as the word came down that she began seeking legal representation. And, you know, I bet that never goes to court. I bet we're going to see a settlement down the line. But, yeah, I think that's another reason why Cesar Conde could lose his job.
So back up, you were rattling off some names before. Let's focus on two. One, you called Rachel Maddow an election denier. What do you mean by that?
Well, I would say if you look back at the allegations about the Russian collusion and keeping going, because that was about him being boosted into office by the Russians. That which has been proven it's not true. Now, I know there are people going to say, well, there were mentions in the Mueller report where, you know, the Russians were here or there. Why did he say that about Hillary's emails to the Russians and all that? But the fact is, let's just say, you know, she sat there after the report was aired and essentially cried about it because she didn't get the fish she was looking for. And if you want to say that there was collusion, then why wasn't that, part of one of the impeachment hearings and stuff? Look, I'm not standing up for Trump and saying he's a good guy, and I'm not saying that Rona McDaniel is a great person either. I don't really like either one of them, but I think the fact remains that these people all have their hands in the pot themselves. They've all been caught at one time or another, and it's just really disingenuous for them to be saying, oh, you know, there's a mobster in the DA's office when they've been doing this kind of stuff themselves.
Well, and then just to stress, the accusations against Rona McDaniel mainly come down to the fact that she was a Trump supporter and she would go after the national media in defending Trump, and that she was adamant that the election was invalid from 2020, hence labeling her an election denier. That's where it comes from.
Yeah, and I think that it's fine to call her that. I think that's fine, but the idea that these people are holier than thou, I mean, that's kind of what it's about. It's like, you know, me thinks they protested too much is, they've been doing the same thing, except on the other side of the aisle. And I know Rachel Maddow gave an impassioned speech about, well, there's none of that going on over here. We're the good folks. But, you know, I think it all depends who has the microphone in their hand at the moment they're saying that.
And what about, you mentioned Jen Psaki. She was the White House press secretary while trying to get a job at MSNBC?
That's right. She was negotiating a deal with MSNBC, NBC, you know, streaming, and NBC News while she was press secretary. And that is so out of bounds. And then for the newsroom not to say there are any problems with that, you didn't hear a peep out of anybody there. You barely heard a peep from the Washington News Corps. You know, so how does that happen? How does that happen without anybody making a big stink? It's just, it's ridiculous. It's hypocrisy. It's, you know, anyway.
Let me quote Michael Brzezinski. She is Joe Scarborough's wife, I guess, now, and co-anchor on The Morning Joe. She says that it's fair to seek Republican voices to balance election coverage, but not a person who used her position of power to be an anti-democracy election denier. And I guess that's for anti-democracy is what they keep coming back to, Jeff.
Well, I mean, then do you say, if we're going to say that is anti-democracy, and I'm not going to say it's not, but why wouldn't you say that somebody who's you know, skirting what is commonly accepted, long accepted journalism rules, to then come on your network like that? And somebody who was, you know, basically feeding you information from as the press secretary, you know, spinning stuff, and you're taking it because you're going to hire her. I mean, this isn't even like tinfoil hat conspiracy stuff. This is stuff that they did. Or would you say that somebody who says, you know, works at a campaign to discredit a president and say time and again he is, you know, a traitor, essentially colluding with the Russians, that's not anti-democracy? That doesn't undermine what we are trying to do in the country? You know, I know there are people on the other side of the aisle, on the left side of the aisle, who are going to say, oh, you know, he was a bad guy and he's got businesses with Russia and all that stuff. But the fact remains is that you had people like Rachel Maddow and you had Jake Tapper and you had Chuck Todd and stuff pushing that for a couple years, and that caused a great deal of a great many problems for this country. I think that's also anti-democratic.
Jeff Bliss on this broadcast. We'll take your phone calls after news at the bottom of the hour. I think a larger issue, though, here, Jeff, is what network news and what cable news has become in our lifetime, where I'm okay if you, okay, here's Mike Steele. We're going to have you on my show, and I'm going to interview you about the Republicans. You used to be the chair of the Republican National Committee. But why are we paying these people? Why are we putting them on staff? Why are we making them regular contributors? What are these different news organizations? Because they all do it. What are they trying to accomplish?
Well, they're trying to get people who are going to, you know, say some things that get people worked up on either side of the aisle. So people click on it, so people watch it, so people listen. That's the number one thing. But they're trying to create tension and conflict with people on air. So you have these panels with, you know, this Republican representative and this Democratic representative, and they shout over each other. And, you know, it's just, that's the state of the media today. And unfortunately, that's really become the mainstay of so much of cable news, regardless of whether it's Fox or CNN or MSNBC. It's all kind of the same thing, just with different labels on it.
Well, that's why I've basically have stopped watching cable news, because if I see one more panel, my head's going to explode. It's you can kind of predict it. They're going to either have three or four people. They're going to go through them one time. They're each going to get a question. And then they're going to go through them a second time. They're each going to get a question. Then, well, thank you very much. We take a commercial break. We come back. Here's a new panel. And it's just panel after panel after. It's like, where's the news?
I agree. And on top of that, you know, if you're on over at Fox, you're going to have two or three conservatives and one liberal. Or if you're over at MSNBC, you might have the same, you know, the opposite side of that. And those people who are the liberal at Fox or the conservative or MSNBC, they're just pinata. You know, they get a mild, you know, retort or something like that, but they're overwhelmed by the numbers, and they don't get the same type of questions, and they just don't have the same amount of time and space. And it's a setup. It's just show business. It's ridiculous.
I think you hit the key phrase right there. It's show business. It's not news. You know, with Rachel Maddow last night, I watched it because I knew she was talking about this subject, and I wanted to see. And I've got nothing against Maddow. I mean, she's a Rhodes Scholar. She's definitely smart. But in the first couple minutes, she rattled off all these major news stories. I was like, oh, she's going to give us a news report. I'm learning what's going on. And then it's like, no, these are stories I can't talk about because I have to talk about this. And 20 minutes later, I'm still trying to figure out what the story is she wants to talk about. Nobody buries a lead like Rachel Maddow. She makes you wait and wait and wait, and then you finally figure out what it is she's trying to say.
She's like a bad, you know, video on social media that just, you're waiting for it to get to the end, and when it gets to the end, that's it. That's what I was waiting for. The longer we can keep eyeballs on them, the longer we can get people listening or watching these reels on Facebook or something, you know, the more they make, the more people they attract to it. It's this formula, it's keeping people engrossed in stupid stuff. And the problem is there are so many things that are bigger out there than these, you know, these little squabbles in Washington. And we're spending all our time on them. It feels like this is the death of us because our priorities are so off.
All right, our priority now is to go to California Headline News, followed by checking in with ABC News. Craig updates us with Time Saver Traffic and Weather together. We'll continue our conversation with Mr. Jeff Bliss about what is happening with Rona McDonald, late of the Republican National Committee, and now late of NBC News. What the heck is going on in our national news organizations? You're listening to Hometown Radio. Well, it's just a mess with our national news organizations. That's my take on it. And I think our guest Jeff Bliss agrees with us. Latest example is this woman, Roan McDaniel, was the chair of the Republican National Committee for years. Trump forced her out, wanted to put one of his family members in. It's his right. He's going to be the nominee. So NBC News came calling, offered her a job as a contributor for $300,000 a year to start. And it's been bloody hell ever since then. All the on-air people are saying, we're never going to work with this woman. Never going to work with this woman. Can't do it. She's an election denier. Neither Jeff nor I are particular fans of this woman, but we are defending her right to have an opinion. Mr. Bliss, are you ready for some text messages?
Sure, why not?
All right, let's see. Well, these aren't too bad. Text number one on the Stolberg line. Doesn't your guest agree that Donald Trump incited a riot at the Capitol building on January 6th, and those of us that could clearly see that he did are still angry at those who tell us that he did not?
That's not what we're talking about tonight. It's neither here nor there, and I'm not going to get dragged into it. I have my own feelings about it. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what I told people starting on that day and then since. I thought the people who were involved with that, whether they're behind the scenes or they're in the Capitol, deserve to be punished to the full extent of the law. I thought that was an affront to American democracy, to our process, and to the country and our history. I've had family members that have been in the military since back to the Revolutionary War, fighting for this country, and you know, Civil War, and on and on and on. And I think that was a great affront to what they did, what they lived with, what they had to face. And so many others who either were injured or lost their lives, sacrifices on and on. So I have no place in my heart for people who are behind that. But that's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about this person who was hired, and when she didn't fit the mold with these other people, they drove her out. So, you know, these are people that do similar things in their own ways. Have done it in their jobs, and I think they need to be called to account for it just as well.
Text number two on the Stolberg line. A listener is reminding us of the example of Dan Rather and the papers on George W. Bush that turned out to be fake. Any thoughts on that?
Well, this is a problem that we're having in the media. I mean, it's interesting when I see Dan Rather, you know, either online or on cable TV, you know, he's still floating around. He's still making a pretty good living. He gives lectures all the time, and he always stands up and points a finger at people about being dishonest. But, you know, he had a history of it himself. So it's not something new in the American media right now, but it's something that we've seen for a while, that people are willing to take and inject in their own politics in and try to pass that off as fact.
805. You know, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. But one thing I wanted to clear up, I kept calling Cesar Conde the head of the news. He's actually NBC Universal chairman, so he's the top dog there.
But we both agree he could likely be on his way out as a result of this.
I think it's possible. I really do. I mean, this is a pretty big misstep for him. You know, I don't know if it's like, you know, CEO of Boeing type of problem, but he's certainly going to have this hanging around his neck for a while.
805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Text number three on the Stolberg line. Chuck Todd, Micah Brzezinski, etc., don't have the talent to argue intelligent arguments. They want opposition they can bully. Same thing happens on the right. Kind of like Hannity and Combs. Alan Combs is only, and I'm sorry to speak ill of the dead, you know, this seems like a nice guy, but come on, Alan Combs was just there to be a punching bag for Hannity.
I agree. That's what I was saying about the panels. You look at them, and if they have somebody on a panel that's from the other party, the other bent, then they're just there to kind of be a pinata, and, you know, the fake idea that there's some kind of balance being laid out there. I just before we came on today, I was watching some of the stuff on Fox, and I was just shaking my head because their token liberal, you know, just couldn't keep up with the being drowned out and the information that was coming from the others. And it's just this silly circus. It's, you know, I'm sure there are people that are really happy watching that, whether it's MSNBC or Fox, but What is that accomplishing? Are you being better informed? Are you becoming a better citizen? You know, we're supposed to be talking about the marketplace of ideas, and something that this texter brought up is that, you know, what are you afraid of your ideas being challenged? And I see that all the time on, you know, when I watch MSNBC in the morning or if I watch at night, and I think, you know, there's nothing there challenging these ideas, and there's never an accountability at work on any of these networks. Nobody ever says, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I'm a human, and we'll work to make it better, or, you know, there's just never an accounting when they get caught, when they're caught out.
So in the case of Rona McDaniel, how did the process break down in terms of NBC trying to bring her on board? Is this at the top?
It sounds like it was at the top. You know, according to Cesar, Cesar Conde, the head of NBC Universal, he said, "Look, this was a collective recommendation by members of the leadership team, and he approved it." So he says, "I'm taking full blame." But I think they all got together and said, "Look, we think we can stir up some interest here. We can, you know, conflict drives big numbers. Maybe that'll help. We'll bring her in." But I wouldn't put it past it that if it was, you know, Romney reaching out to old buddies at NBC saying, "Hey, help me out here." I hadn't really thought about that before, but we see that in other political situations, whether it's trying to get your daughter on the Today Show, your former president, or connections to have other reporters be on different networks. I mean, this is what DC is all about. It's all about who you know and how you can leverage things.
Well, I'm reminded about the presidential election of 2016, when Donald Trump was still rising and he didn't have the nomination yet. And what did the networks do? They would break away to any kind of Trump, because Trump was good for ratings. So it was no longer about news. It's what would draw clicks, what would draw eyeballs, that leads the news. And I'm sure it goes back farther than that, but go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you there. I agree 100%. I mean, like I said before, it's about the clicks. It's about getting people to stay on your website longer, to watch your cable show longer. All of those things are being measured and they're being monetized. One of my favorite quotes about politics in the media was, I interviewed Dennis Miller, the comedian and, you know, raconteur and author, and he said, you know, we don't have a political bias. What we have is a conflict, a bias towards conflict, because they know that's what's going to draw the numbers. That's what's going to make people have heartburn and get worked up and, you know, become, you know, activists in the sort to watch for their TV shows and their guests, people who validate them. He says, it's not a left bias or right bias. It's a conflict bias. And ever since he said that, I was like, wow, I think he's absolutely got it there, because that's what's driving the way they stylize these programs these days.
On the Stolberg text line, and I agree, that's really, I think, pretty insightful. But the text number 4, Rachel Maddow and company do not want to hear or debate other opinions.
Why would they? I mean, a real debate means you stand a chance of one side, you know, coming out better than the other, you know, their ideas being better or for the presentation being better. So why would you want to put yourself or your program or your star in that type of situation? I agree. But I tend to think that, you know, some of these people are pretty steeped in their political beliefs. They become almost religious, and they can't brook any kind of, you know, opposition to it. It's heresy.
Well, the other thing that has changed, obviously, with Fox News, you know you're going to get a conservative viewpoint. With MSNBC, you know you're going to get a liberal viewpoint. With CNN, you're not quite sure what you're going to get. That wasn't the way when we were growing up. We just turned on the news, and we got the news. And now we're not getting news. We're getting opinion and analysis, and it comes complete with an agenda. And I think that's sad.
I agree. I mean, I may have shared it before. My cousin Ed Bliss, who is a very well-known journalism professor and author, he was also Edward R. Murrow and Walter Cronkite's chief writer and editor. As a matter of fact, when you see Cronkite handed that famous dispatch about Kennedy being killed in Dallas, that's Ed handing it to him. And I think if he saw what was going, he's passed away a number of years ago, but I think if he saw what the difference is between the Cronkite days and now, he would cry. And if you read his book, he had a textbook, and I'll send you the title sometime, but, you know, his book was about writing for broadcast and about being objective and truthful and letting the truth win out. And that's not what it's about anymore. It's does your side win now? It's not about were the facts out there? Was it presented correctly? It's about, you know, did you get your perspective out there and shut down the other group?
Yeah, and my other concern is that given the news today that they backtracked and they're not going to let Ronan McDaniel come to work for them, that is going to make the situation even worse. Let's take a call. We got John in DePomo. Hey, John.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, John.
You know, I think a lot of this has to do with dumbing down, not intellectualism, but dumbing down courage. And these, I don't think people have the guts to say what they believe because they think they're going to get scolded or it's going to be politically incorrect or it's going to be something or other. And they cower to who they think they have to, you know. I just think it's a thing. I think it's courage more than anything else.
Uh-oh, don't say courage because then it makes me think of Dan Rather. And his little sign-off there at the end. He used to sign off for, what, about a month, Jeff? He was signing off his newscast with courage, and nobody could figure out what he was talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, that's my 2 cents.
Yeah. Hey, stay with us, John. What do you say, Jeff?
Okay.
I think that's an interesting point. I haven't really thought about it in terms of, you know, the news media. I know that's something that is talked about with people when they're in their social circles, certainly in D.C. and New York and L.A., is that, you know, people don't want to speak out and tell the truth because they're afraid they'll be ostracized. Or, you know, actually, I will say that I've read some op-ed pieces where they said, look, I've been afraid that if I'm going to say this, or somebody said they'd be afraid if they wrote or said this, they're not getting invited to the parties anymore. They're not getting invited to the White House Correspondents' Dinner, maybe, or they're not getting invited to this premiere. And so I think there's a point to that.
John?
I think so, too. I really do, Jeff. I think you put some good points in there. That's great.
That's why it's a great guest.
Appreciate the conversation.
John, thanks for listening. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832 for Jeff Bliss back at Hometown Radio. Peggy's in San Luis. Hey, Peggy.
Hi, Dave, and hi to your guest. He's doing a great job getting to some of the truth.
We're trying.
Jeff was saying that the Rachel Maddow and all the MSNBC people were screaming because that this woman was going to, you know, they were they didn't want non-democratic voices. I mean, not democratic versus Republican, but like no democracy. They're like, oh my God, she's not going to bring democracy to our station, you know. And those people, Rachel Maddow, and all those, like, you know, Meet the Press people. We call them MS, not NBC, but MSDNC, because they're part of the DNC. Really, has put out those waves.
They're
undemocratic too themselves. I mean, they promote lies. They promote that, oh, Jill Stein cost Clinton the race in 2016. That is such BS. I mean, Clinton lost the race all on her own. And even if Jill Stein got 49,000 votes in Pennsylvania and Hillary lost by 44,000, does she deserve all of Jill Stein's votes? Well, we know by statistics that 2/3 of the people who voted for Jill Stein would not have voted at all if we didn't have Jill Stein on the ballot. So, you know, they present these lies, too. So,
Stay with us, Peggy. Jeff, what do you say?
Well, I think, you know, it'd just be nice if they would identify themselves and their backgrounds and their leanings, because I think it would make it a lot more honest. But to continually go out there and say, you know, like Chuck Todd, and pretend like, you know, he's an honest broker, was ridiculous. Whether, you know, was his background as, you know, helping a political candidate, or the fact that his wife is an activist on Democrat side in D.C. I mean, there are a whole bunch of other people like that too, but they're not honest about it. And I there's that old joke that goes around that says, you know, I wish our senators and congressmen wore jackets with patches on them like stock car races, so you know who sponsored them. I wish sometimes it was the same thing with journalists. You could see, you know, who's been part of their club, you know, what groups they belong to or how they vote, because it would give you a better idea of what's going on.
What else, Peggy?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, I saw an interview, I can't remember if it was Meet the Press or the other morning show on Sunday, and someone was doing an interview and saying, oh yeah, Jill Stein cost Hillary the election. And no one said, well, excuse me, I think we need to talk about that. That's not true. You look at the votes, and that's not true. And Hillary was a bad candidate, you know, most disliked. She and Trump were so disliked. Now we have the more disliked people going on. So anyway, thank you for your honesty, Jeff.
All right, Peggy, thank you. I like Biden. On the Stolberg text line, as less and less people watch the mainstream media, I just hope more people think critically about the information they get. There's a lot of good independent media out there, and there's a lot of bad. What do you think about that, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, why just read one paper or take in one TV outlet, just one venue, something that just validates you? That doesn't make you a better informed person. All it does is it just, hey, I agree with myself on these things. And I think that's very damaging, regardless of which side of the aisle you're on. But I increasingly see that. I have friends who are very, very smart, very accomplished, but they only read one paper. They only look at one website. They only look at one cable outlet, and that's it. So they never, you know, if your ideas are so strong, if they're so good, then you shouldn't worry what's on the other side. So at least find out what other people are saying and, you know, take the time to weigh it against what you know and then go from there, maybe examine it, investigate it more. What we should be trying to do is trying to get to a better place rather than trying to be the winner, you know?
I like that. We got a winner here. His name is Jeff Bliss. We come back for one last segment. We're live, we're local, we're hometown. Where we take another call for Jeff Bliss, we've got Tony in Atascadero. Hey, Tony.
Hey, you know, I love your show because you have different opinions on there. I may not agree with them, but that's what we're supposed to. That's what we're supposed to question ourselves. You know, why do I think this way? Why do I? You know, we don't have to listen to everything and believe everything that we read and that what we hear. But if you question yourself a little bit, you'll grow a little bit, I think.
I think so too, Jeff.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's what it's supposed to be about. You know, the idea of delivering news to you, the journalist's job is to give you the facts, to give you that information so that then you can take it and measure it against what you know, what you have in your own life, and come up with your ideas, your decisions. And, you know, when it's just handed to you, force-fed to you just to elicit some type of, you know, response, almost like getting hit on the knee with a reflex hammer. You know, that's not news anymore. That's not information. That's not good.
So, Tony, what do you think of this guest?
You know, I think that, I mean, it's sad to think this, but because, you know, you have two different media. So if somebody's not telling the truth or not telling the whole truth, because if you have this side saying this and this side saying that, they're getting close, but where is the truth? That's what a lot of people are missing. You got to find the truth. And sometimes you have to dig a little bit because they're not going to tell you the whole truth. Because if they did, probably scare you to death.
Mm-hmm. All right, Tony, we'll talk about that in our remaining minutes. Thanks for checking in. Yeah, Jeff, I guess it's not all like All the President's Men where you just send out Woodward and Bernstein. They get the facts and we bring down a president. The truth is often harder to decipher, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's incumbent upon the reader or listener or viewer to do a little bit of work if they really care about it. You know, if this is an issue that's really important to them, they need to do a little digging. Take both sides, compare it, look at evidence, find out who's telling the truth. You know, look like your last guest who was talking about Gaza and Israel. Delve into the books, delve into the history books, look at the news accounts throughout the history of Israel and before then, and then come up with an idea rather than just what some activist or some news commentator has told you now, because that's how we're going to get to the truth, the common truth. And, you know, it's interesting, de Tocqueville said that one of the great things about Americans, bring them and hold them together, was the idea of shared truths. And I think what's happened with things like cable news and all these other things is it's become more divisive. And the idea of driving this division between us so you can build up your sides has really been harmful to America. We talked about democracy before and how democracy is being damaged by these different people. Well, there's a great example. Having these divisions by separating common, you know, commonly held truths, that's really dangerous.
I don't think you're allowed to quote de Tocqueville on AM radio, but that's all right. Last text message on this line.
I just want to let you know that I have no original ideas. I get them all from somebody else, and that's who I got it from.
Last text message. There's a difference between news shows with real journalists and reporters and whatever Fox calls news, by the way. Weren't they sued for misinformation?
Well, you know, I can't say that this texture is wrong, but I'd also urge them to look on the other sides and like you said, weigh it all out. And if their idea of that Fox is all evil and MSNBC is all good, well, you know, who am I to be able to argue them out of it? But I would just urge them to do some deeper digging, go beyond just what somebody told you in a 30-second blip, you know, or in a monologue before they open their MSNBC show.
Jeff Bliss is going to be guest hosting for me next Wednesday and Thursday. Two reasons to keep listening to Hometown Radio. We appreciate your contributions tonight, sir. And you've got about 35 seconds for a final thought.
Well, thanks for having me on. Next week, there'll be people throwing knives, jumping through fire hoops, that type of thing. I promise excitement. I just want to encourage everybody to, you know, strengthen democracy, strengthen their own knowledge, by digging deeper. That's what's going to help you. That's what's going to, and it's going to be more interesting, honestly.
Yeah, don't live life in an echo chamber.
Exactly. Get out of the bubble, as they say.
There you go. All right, sir. Have a safe trip up to St. Louis next week.
Thanks.
Off we go.
Or see everybody else then.
Yeah, y'all have fun. Off we go. News, traffic, weather. Dr. James Papp. Don't forget, tomorrow night during the 5 o'clock hour, Police Chief Rick Scott. You know what we're talking about. Phil Hendry on Friday. We'll be back.
The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111-911.